If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, and we're going to read verses 22 through 32. Matthew 14, 22 through 32. And starting in verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Have you been weary lately? And have you felt like you've been in the storm and it seems like the storm doesn't stop, and before you get out of a storm, you go to another storm and you're really not sure why things are like they are, and there's everything that's going on around us, and at this point it seems like there's so much unrest and people are getting upset, people are getting angry, they're getting hostile, and we have to wonder what's going on. We hear all kinds of reports of the medical community. Some are good, some are not so good, some are controlling the government. We have hear stories about them, but you wonder, why are we in this storm that we're in? And we scratch our heads a little bit and we think, Lord, what is going on? Why are things like they are? But we have to get to a point where we understand that we are where he wants us to be. And the place that we are, we need to consider, is somewhere that he has sent us into. Sometimes we need to understand that he's bringing us to a new place, and maybe that new place that he's bringing us to isn't so much a physical place, although we live in a physical world, but maybe it's a new spiritual place that he's bringing us to. And he wants to change our way of acting. He wants us to change our way of thinking. And he wants us to warfare in a different way. He wants us to understand that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And so the truth is, our God sends us into the storm for a reason. And we're going to see a couple things in this scripture about Peter, about the disciples. And one of the truths of this portion of scripture is that Jesus sent his disciples into the storm. And sometimes he sends us into the storm. In verse 24, the boat's on the lake. And Jesus sends the disciples out in the boat on the lake while he goes up to pray. And we see that when the boat is on the lake, all of a sudden it becomes buffeted by waves. That means that the waves are crashing against the boat on every side. And in verse 25, in the midst of this storm, in the midst of the wind and the waves buffeting this ship, Jesus comes walking on the water right through the storm like it's no big deal. And the disciples, we see, are scared. They're really scared of what's going on. They're scared of the storm. But here comes Jesus walking on the roaring waves right to the disciples in this boat. And what we see is that the very thing that the disciples were scared of is the very thing that Jesus was treading upon. How many times have we been in fear? How many times have we been scared of something that has come into our lives only to realize that it is the very thing that Jesus treads upon? When we trust him, we understand that. But he's treading on it. He's walking across it. And we have to learn from this Matthew 14, what we have to learn from it is that our problems or our storms are nothing that he can't handle. He knows what's going on. And he has brought us to this time for a purpose. But he is the master of our storms. He is the master of our problems. Sometimes we go through experiences. We go through deaths, we go through surgeries, we go through hardships, we go through relationship strains, and we start to question why we're going through. But when we go through them, we find that in these experiences that they were meant to happen and they were meant to bring us closer to Jesus Christ because he is trying to draw us to himself so that we'll trust in only him. How many times have we been so mistaken when we've trusted in everything else? We trusted in our bank account because when it was okay and we were able to pay the bills and we had enough money, we were okay. We didn't have to trust in anything else. But that's not where he wanted us. When our house seemed okay and our kids seemed normal and everything seemed all right, we found ourselves not trusting him, but trusting in those things. But he has brought us to a place like this so that we would learn to truly only trust in him above all else. In verse 26, it says, as the disciples see Jesus walking across the water, it says that they didn't recognize Jesus because they thought it was a ghost. I don't believe in ghosts. I believe that there are other things that act like ghosts, but in my mind, there is no such thing as a ghost because the word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So the disciples are almost believing in fables. They're old fishermen, and you can imagine in that day, especially, they had old fables and tales that they would tell, and they would talk probably about ghosts. But they see Jesus on the water, and instead of believing in the fact and the faith of Jesus Christ, they start believing in fables, and they think, well, this is a ghost. And we find that the disciples didn't recognize Jesus. And probably why they didn't recognize Jesus is because they weren't looking for him in the storm. How many times in our storms do we miss Jesus because we're not looking for him? We're so focused on the storm. We're so focused on the problems that are going on around us that we miss Jesus. The disciples missed Jesus because they weren't looking for him. And they would have known him, and they would have known he was coming to them if they were waiting for him by faith. But instead, they jumped to false conclusions, and they said, it's a ghost. So do we wait for Jesus? And do we recognize him when he arrives in our storm? Or do we always draw all kinds of false conclusions as to what's going on and why the storm's happening and how is it we're supposed to get out of it? And we're so focused on those things, we don't realize that he's with us in the storm. He brought us into the storm, and he's the one that's going to see us out of the storm. If we would just focus our eyes on him, then we'd have so much more peace. And we get so much more understanding. And we'd have so much more motivation to do what he has asked us to do in spite of the storm that's going on around us. We need to follow him. We need to keep our eyes focused on him because he's the one that sent us into the storm. He knows where we are. He knows where he sent us. And he knows why he sent us here. The second thing is we truly need to put all of our faith in Jesus Christ, and this isn't easy. Put all of our faith in Jesus Christ, and this isn't easy. And out of all the 12 disciples, there was one. And we know that one. We know it's Peter, who ignored the wind and the waves, and he had a burning desire to want to be close to Jesus Christ. One out of 12. That's less than 10%. That's like 8% of people who want to see Jesus and be close to Jesus in spite of the wind and the waves and all the problems that's going on. But Peter dared, in the midst of this other group, to be different and to demonstrate faith. And in verse 28, he says to Jesus, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus replies in verse 29 by saying, simply, come. Come. And you can imagine, as he's saying this to Peter, how peaceful, how full of faith this statement is and how receiving it is when he just looks at Peter and he says, come. And what we see is that Peter's in the will of God, even though he's walking in the midst of a storm, even though he's walking on waves in a place where no man really should be, because we know by nature that if we are on top of the water, that we're not going to be on top of the water very long, but we're going to go underneath it. But despite all those things, he was where God called him to be. He was in the will of God. And instead of being overtaken by fear and seeing all the waves around him, he was treading on the very thing that he had feared before he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the difference was that he actually saw Christ before him. He saw the truth standing before him. So he was more willing to put his faith in the truth of Jesus Christ that was before him instead of everything around him that now seemed false. All the wind and the waves that seemed so real and so much more real than the Lord Jesus Christ, everything flipped for Peter. And the Lord Jesus Christ became the one that seemed like the absolute truth. And the wind and the waves didn't seem to matter anymore. They weren't the truth anymore because the truth stood right in front of him. But Peter demonstrated faith by walking out on the water. There's an anonymous quote, and this is definitely for the church. This is for those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe those that don't, and it's God's calling you to himself. But the quote is this: if you always do what you always did, you will always get what you always got. And sometimes we cling so bad, and we're so guilty, all of us, of clinging to everything that's been old, clinging on past moves of God, clinging on things that happened 25, 30 years ago, and the memories are still fresh, and we're clinging to our old boats, and we refuse to trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to take us into a new place, to take us past the hurts and all the things that have happened in our life before, and to bring us to a place where he is, and he is so fresh and resident in. And we keep looking back saying, no, Lord, what about this and what about that? And I used to do this and I used to do that. And the Lord's saying, well, I'm not back in the used to, but I'm here in the future if you would look to me and get out of your old boat. And maybe he's calling you to do something you've never done before. Maybe you had refused to do something because of some past hurt or something that happened maybe in another church even. But he's calling you to do it and you just refuse. But when we walk by faith and we put our eyes to Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to go wherever you're calling me to go, what we find is when we walk by faith, we'll never fail, ever. We only fail if we sit and we refuse to do it. In Psalm 118:6, it says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? One of the biggest problems we have in the faith community, especially, is the fear of man. We become so fearful of man. And we become so fearful of past experiences, things that have happened to us that limit us from doing those new things that God has called us to do. Because someone said something to us once, or something happened here once, and we hold on to it. But if the Lord is on my side, who shall I fear? What can man do unto me? He's called me specifically. He's called you specifically. Not the other person that said something, not the other situation that you were in, but he's called you specifically. In Psalm 23:4, it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Why do I fear? Why do we fear? In Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So we have his promises that he's never going to leave us. And he's called us. He's called us to walk by faith in him. Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Psalm 91:11. It says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. So let's think about this a little bit. If God is with you, and Jesus is always with you, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and God's angels are all around you, how can we fail? How can we fail? And the answer is, only if we don't live by faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is easier to sit still and be religious than it is to act in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when we act in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to be doing some things that we never would have done otherwise. But he's given you the Holy Spirit, so you no longer have to live the way you used to live, but you will live according to the way he's called you to. We can sit still and be religious, or we can act in our relationship with Jesus Christ and see miracles happen all around us. There's a story about a pastor, and I might have shared this before, but this pastor was on an airplane, and the airplane was going down. It was going to crash, And there's a passenger that was seated next to him. And earlier, he had overheard that that he was a pastor. And he was in so much fear. And he got up and he said, "You're a pastor." He said, "Do something religious." And so the pastor thought for a second. And he got up. He grabbed two baskets. And he started to take an offering up and down the aisle. Because he was going to do something religious. But let's not do something religious. Let's do something that's based on our relationship with Jesus Christ, something that he has called us to specifically, not a form, not a function, but he's called you to do something specifically by his Spirit. He's calling to you today. What is it? What are you clinging to? What fear are you clinging to? What's become your safety zone? What is it that is causing you not to get out of your boat, not to move, not to do something new that he's told you to do, not to even question him? And say, "Lord, what is it you've called me to? I'll do whatever. I'll open up the floodgates. I will fling open wide every restraint that I have, Lord, and I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And I'm going to quit listening to everyone else around me. I'm going to quit listening to my old mind that keeps regurgitating thoughts and thoughts that have happened years and years ago." Do you dare to get out and walk on the water with Jesus Christ? Because we're coming into storms. Matter of fact, we're in a storm. It's a big one. But we should not let the storm or our surroundings affect our inside, but we should let our inside affect our outside or our surroundings. Because our inside is so much more powerful than what's around us and what's outside. And sometimes we miss that, we lose that perception because the outside seems so loud and the inside has become so soft because we haven't listened to it in a long time. But you got to let your inside affect this outside. You got to let that voice inside of you be louder than the outside voice that seems to be just booming over and over again. But our inside needs to affect our surroundings. We see that Peter risked failure by deciding that he was going to go and walk on the water. And when in verse 30, we see that Peter starts to focus on the storm rather than Jesus Christ. And he's afraid. He becomes afraid. After he probably takes a couple steps and he's going towards Jesus Christ, he starts looking and takes his eyes off the Lord and he starts looking to the waves and the wind. And he is in the middle of this storm. But the thing about Peter that we don't hear about, we hear that he sank. But what we don't hear about is the fact that in the midst of the storm and in the midst of him starting to fear, he knew where to turn and look. He knew where to refocus his eyes. And instead of letting himself go down all the way, he cries out. He says, "Lord, save me." And I'll tell you, he said that because he knew he was the only one that could. He knew he was the only one that could. And when he says it, Jesus immediately takes him by the hand. He catches him and he brings him up to himself. And what we find is if we walk by faith, there is a possibility that we're going to display our failures. And we're so worried about displaying our failures, aren't we? If someone's going to see, someone's going to make fun of us, someone's going to say, "Well, aren't you Christian?" But I got to ask you this, who cares? And so Peter runs the possibility as he steps out in faith of showing a failure, showing his fear off to everyone else that is around him. But I'll tell you, he was the only one out on the water. He's the only one that experienced walking on the water while the rest of the disciples were cowering in fear on the boat. And so many people around us will say and point out our failures, but they refuse to get out and walk on the water. And they haven't experienced the things that we could experience by walking in faith. We run the risk of displaying our failures, but the only other option is just to completely fail in the first place by not walking in trust and faith to begin with. We don't have perfect faith. None of us do. And all of our failures are going to come out. Some of them are going to be displayed. As we walk on the journey of faith, we're going to get ridiculed, but we don't listen because we don't fear man. Verse 31, Jesus said to Peter, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" And the word doubt here is translated to mean, this is what it means, standing in uncertainty at two ways. Standing in uncertainty at two ways. And this earth loves to get us to stand in uncertainty at two ways. We have to make a decision every day, every minute, every hour, that no matter what it is around us, we're going to believe solely in Jesus Christ and His Word. And that might sound like it's too simple, but sometimes it's too hard. Because when we get out in the world, we tend to believe all the things that are said and all the things that are contrary to the Word of God. But we need to be certain of one way, and that's certain of Jesus Christ and His way. Another meaning is to distrust. And Peter got into a point where he was uncertain, looking at two ways. He was distrusting because he was believing the waves and the wind over the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the master of the waves and the wind. He started out in great faith, but he ends up with little faith because he saw two ways and not one, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to give credit to Peter because in the midst of his sinking, he knew who to cry out to for help. And he knew he was sinking, but at least he cried out while he was sinking, not when he was drowning. But he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And later, Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:12, he says this. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers." And I think Peter learned something in this experience, probably when he wrote this these words in 1 Peter 3. But he is relaying to us that Jesus Christ listens when we cry out to Him. In Matthew 17, 19 and 20, the disciples ask, why could we not cast him out? When there was a man who was possessed with demons, oppressed, possessed, demonized, whatever you want to call it. But he had demons. And I believe we're living in a day when many are infested with demons. And instead of just labeling what it is and what the Bible tells us what it is, we put all kinds of other different labels on it and pass it off when these people could get some relief to be delivered. But the disciples asked, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. In Psalm 40, verse 4, it says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. In Psalm 112, verse 7, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. If you decide to walk by faith, then the outward working of walking by faith is that you're going to constantly be moving forward in Christ. And that is an exciting relationship with Him. We're not staying in the same place. And one guy, one friend of mine said, you never stay in the same place with Jesus. You're either moving forward with Jesus or you're moving backward with Satan, one or the other. We don't never stay still. So we need to be moving forward with Jesus Christ in a exciting relationship with Him, a relationship that He's called us to, a faith that He's called us to. He never calls us to stay and sit. He always calls us to move in direction towards Him. He's never in the past move. He's always in the present and future move. He's always calling you to Himself. He doesn't want you to go backward. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. And if we feel like we're stagnant, if we feel like we've even fell back from where we've been, then we need to check our faith. And we need to refocus. And we need to understand that maybe we've been standing in uncertainty at two ways. We've been believing all the reports. We've been believing all the thoughts in our mind, and we stopped believing the simple Word of God. We stopped living by faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the words that He's given to us. Maybe we've been watching TV and YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and everything else more than we've been focusing on the Word of God. And those thoughts and those ideas and those concepts seep in slowly into our minds and into our understanding. But the Word calls us to have the mind of Christ, and there's only one way to have the mind of Christ. There's only one way to move forward, and that's by saturating your mind with the Word of God. So maybe He's calling you today, and He's saying, I want you to refocus on Me. I want you to refocus on who I am. I want you to refocus on who I've called you to be. I want you to refocus on who I've recreated you to be when I called you to be saved, when I filled you with My Holy Spirit. Are you looking to Jesus Christ this morning? Will you pray with me? First, I want to pray if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm going to tell you it's the best thing you could ever do. It's the most peace, the most refreshing experience that you'll ever have. He can wipe all of your sin away, all of your shame away, all the things that you used to struggle with. He can wipe it away in an instant if you'll just turn everything over to Him and trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. You cannot be free of sin any other way. The burden is too great, it's too heavy. But you can trust in Him today. You can simply just pray this way. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I have sinned greatly against You. And Lord, I believe today that You are my Savior, that You died and You rose again for my sin. I trust in You as my Savior, my personal Savior, and I ask You to forgive me. Make me Your own. Save me. In Jesus' name. For the rest of us, just pray this way. Lord, we ask You to call us out of our complacency, out of our laziness even, Lord, out of the places where we have been, Lord, where we haven't walked in certainty towards who You are in our lives. We've missed a beat, Father. We have not moved forward trusting in You. Lord, help us to believe Your word, to put down some of those things, Father, that we've taken up, some of those philosophies, some of those ideas, Lord, that are unscriptural, and help us to walk completely in faith towards You, Lord. Lord, make our relationship again exciting. Make our faith exciting, Lord. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, to walk on top of the waves, Lord, trusting in You, keeping our eyes focused on You. And we just give You praise, Lord. We love You. We honor You. Change us, Father. We pray for these uncertain times, Lord, that You would call us, that we would rise up, not being affected by all the things that we're hearing and all the fear that's surrounding us, Lord, but walking on top of it, focusing on You. We give You praise, Lord. We love You and honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week.